You're listening to another inspiring teaching from Devonport Church of Christ, Tasmania, Australia. For more information about our church, please log on to www.devonportcoc.com.au.
So I remember being at a friend's wedding many years ago. It was a beautiful day and we were at the reception and the speeches had been happening and it came time for the groom to make his speech. And he started off by thanking everyone for being there, as you do. And then he turned to the bridesmaids and he thanked them and he commented on how beautiful they were. And then with his arm around his new wife, he looks her in the eye and he says, "I don't know why I love you." Silence falls on the room and we all kind of look at each other going, did we just hear that right? I look at the bride and at her face with understandable confusion. And I see the father of the bride with his jaw clenched and a "what is this clown doing?" look upon his face. And my friend continues with, "I don't know why I love you." And then he proceeds to talk about elements of their relationship before saying that that wasn't why he loved her. And then he finished off with, "I don't know why I love you, but I know that I do." He thinks that he saved it. I'm not so sure. See, I understand what he was trying to do, because there's one thing of actually just telling somebody that you love them, another is being able to explain why. In a speech on your wedding day, maybe not the best time. Well, we're standing here at the start of a new year. It's 2022, and so often the start of a new year is a time of reflection. It's a time to consider what has come before and what we want to do differently. The start of a year is a line in the sand where we try to make a new start, to change things, to make resolutions. And so that theme of reflecting, I want to ask you a question as we head into 2022. Why do you love Jesus? Have you ever really thought about that question before? Does the question leave you feeling a little bit unsure? Or do you have an answer that comes to your mind straight away? Being able to answer this question, to be able to give an answer and share it, it is powerful. Because when we're able to answer this question of why do we love Jesus, when people ask us why we have faith, we have a powerful personal reason that we're able to share. This question forces us to actually reflect on, do we own our faith or not? And as we start this new year, this is the perfect time to stop and to reflect. So, why do you love Jesus? This is a question that we don't just ask once in our lives, but a question that we need to go back to again and again and again. And Revelation 2, verses 1 to 4 gives us an understanding of why, because I'll be honest, what do you preach on for a new year but Revelation, right? And so this passage is part of the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. And all of them come with wisdom and warning for the church today. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands." How good is it to know that Jesus is near to his church, that he is walking close to the church. As we head into a new year, it is a great reminder that Jesus is near. "I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." This message from Jesus starts off with encouragement. This church is doing well, but Jesus doesn't just leave it at well done. He warns them as well. "Yet I hold this against you. you have forsaken the love you had at first. This church had done so well. They'd endured persecution, hardships. They'd fought for truth and sought to keep going. And in doing so, they drifted. They'd forgotten something. They forgot why they fell in love with Jesus in the first place. They forgot why they were actually doing these things. Enduring, toiling, they're good things, but they're not the main event. Seeking to keep the truth is a really good and important thing, but it's not the main thing. These actions, while they're good, they should arise naturally from the main thing, which is a life filled with love for Jesus. And Revelation 2, verse 4, is one of those verses that God keeps bringing back to me regularly. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your love that you had at first. See, I know that there are times when God needs me to reflect, to actually ask myself, have I allowed my love for Jesus to drift? Have I forgotten why I'm even doing this Christian thing in the first place? God prompts me to actually stop and consider the actions that I'm doing, going to church, reading my Bible, sharing about Him, being a good person. Have those actions overtaken the reason why I do them? God prompts me to reflect on whether I'm doing the actions, but I've actually drifted from my first love of Jesus. And I'm willing to bet that I'm not the only one here who needs that reminder sometimes. Because I know that life gets busy, and when life gets busy, actions become rote. They become routine. Our prayers lose their focus. Our actions that start in such a good place and for good reasons, they become disconnected. They drift and they just become actions. See, it's this moment when I need to ask myself, why do I love Jesus? Because actions without love for Jesus, that's religion. That's powerlessness. That's slavery. God desires for us to be free, to have that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. He wants that in our lives today. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. That's what we're set free for. That's what the Christian life is meant to be about. Why do you love Jesus? That's what the church at Ephesus needed to ask themselves, to stop their drift, to return to what God wanted for them. And I'll be honest, I'm here standing at the beginning of a new year, and this is a reflection that I need to make myself. I need to ask myself and check myself, have I allowed my actions to overtake love? Have I allowed myself to drift or not? And so today I want to look at some ways that we can return to that first love of Jesus in this new year. Ways that will remind us how we can answer that question, why do I love Jesus? And the first one is this: we need to refocus. If our focus has drifted from Jesus to our actions, then we need to refocus back on what matters. But you know, that's easier said than done. Life is hard. There are so many demands on our time, so many demands on our attention. Sometimes our focus drifts from Jesus because we feel like we have reached our capacity, that we are thinking about and dealing with all the things that we can possibly think about, and to add even just one small thing more, everything's going to come crashing down, that we're going to explode, that we just can't cope with something else, even something that we know is going to be helpful, like refocusing. It seems like too much. Or maybe it's just simply that our minds have started to wander. Like when we mow the lawns or we do the washing up, we do an action so many times that we find that our minds just stop engaging. They wander. And Jesus is calling out to us, hey, snap out of it. Come back to what you need to pay attention to. We need to refocus on him. And one of the best ways that I know how to refocus is with two questions. And I'm going to be honest with you. These questions aren't incredibly difficult questions or very spiritual questions, but I believe that they're pretty powerful questions. The first one is this: where have you seen God lately? And the second, what has God been doing in your life? I know that these questions aren't particularly deep, but you know what? That's actually the beauty of them. These questions just require us to stop. They require us to reflect, but they also reveal something so important about God. Because our God is living and active. He's involved in our world. He's involved in our lives. God's not dead. He's not just sitting back waiting for judgment day. God's power, his divine nature are there to be seen. Paul actually writes about it in Romans chapter 1. He says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse." Paul is saying that we can go and we can look and we can see that God is living and active. Whether you're a believer or not, if you choose to really look, God is there. We're reminded that even today, God is at work in the world around us. And you know, Romans 8:28 is another example. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." God is working. God is involved in all things. All things. And that means that even when tragedies occur, God is working in those to bring some good. That doesn't mean that God causes tragedies. But it also means, because God's heart breaks in tragedies, but it does mean that God is not going to allow them to be wasted. And he's going to bring something good out of them. See, our God is living and active in this world. He does incredible and amazing things. But the thing is, are we actually paying attention to see them? Are we actually taking the time to focus on what God's doing? Or do we focus more on just what we have to get done? These questions that I shared, they allow us to refocus that attention back where it needs to be. So, I ask you again, where have you seen God lately? What's God been doing in your life? Maybe it is in the beauty of creation where you've been reminded of his awesome power, his incredible artistry. Or maybe it's over Christmas. You've been reminded of the importance of family, of belonging. And you've been reminded of God's love that doesn't depend on your actions or what you do. Maybe you have witnessed God moving supernaturally, maybe bringing healing physically or to a relationship. Maybe it's through something that just can't be a coincidence. It has to be a God incidence. What is it? Where have you been seeing God lately? Don't just ask this question today while you're sitting here, though. Write this question down and ask yourself all throughout 2022. Because maybe, just maybe, 2022 will be your most God-filled year ever. Not because God's going to suddenly start doing more in your life, but because we actually stop and we open our eyes to see what God is already doing in our lives. So if we want to fall more in love with Jesus again, if we want to remember our first love, we need to refocus. But the second way follows on from the first, and that is to remember and retell. You know, in our journeys of faith, there are mountaintop experiences, those moments when God feels so close and so real. And it's like you're just swimming in His love. There are those times that it feels like nothing can get in the way of your relationship. But if there are mountaintop experiences, there are also going to be the valleys. Those moments when God feels so far away. And it's in those moments when God feels far away that it can be easier to hear those lies that are spoken in our mind. Your faith doesn't matter. You've made it all up. It's all pretend. All you have to do is just do the actions. Nothing else matters. It's in those moments that we can lose our way, that we can fall into the trap of drifting and just doing actions by rote, that we miss the love that we have for Jesus. And it's in these moments, these times, that we need to stop and think back to those moments when God has been real, to those mountaintop experiences. We need to remember the promises that God has given us, the times that He's given us things to hold on to. See, I remember this one time when I was in high school, and I hadn't had a good day that day. I had felt like nobody wanted me around. I felt like I hadn't belonged anywhere, that I wasn't wanted, that people were just tolerating me. And I remember going home that day, and like any younger brother, I looked up to my older brother. Now, I don't tell him that, and I hope that none of you are going to either. But I'd had a pretty rubbish day. And I went home, and like any younger brother, wanting to look up to my older brother, I set out to annoy him a lot. And I remember that my brother said some pretty hurtful things to me that night, as siblings do. And I remember later that night, I was crying because I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I wasn't wanted. I felt like nobody cared. I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere, and I just wanted to. And I remember that that was one of the first times that I ever really poured out my heart to God, that I ever really cried out to Him. And I remember praying to God, God, I want You to change me. I want to be able to fit in. I want to be able to belong. I want to be able to be part of something. So God, I want You to change me. I want You to remake me into someone that other people like. I want You to change me into somebody that my brother likes. And that night, as I poured out my heart to God, God spoke to me. And it wasn't an audible voice of God. This was a whisper that was so very clear. And a hug that reached down from heaven. And God said to me, I am going to change you. I am going to shape you. Not into somebody that other people like. Not into somebody that your brother likes. I'm going to shape you into who I have made you to be, who I intend you to be. And it was shortly after that that I discovered the verse Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, that night I got a promise from God that He was going to change me and shape me, that He already had. But then I also got a promise that He was not going to get bored of me, that He was not going to give up on me, but He was going to finish what He started. Now, I don't tell you that story so that you feel sorry for me. I tell you that story because when I go through the valleys, when I'm going through those times that God feels far, I stop. I remember that night and so many other times where God has given me a promise. And as I think about those moments, as I think about those times, the coals of my love for God burst into flame again. I'm reminded, this is why I love Jesus, because he's not going to give up on me. He's not going to abandon me or get bored of me, because he loves me. See, remembering these times, it encourages me. It supports me. It helps me to keep going, and it helps me to refocus on God. And this is what we see all throughout the Old Testament. God would do amazing things for the Israelites. He took them through the Red Sea, so they made a song about it to remember it. When he brought them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, they made a cairn of stones, 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel, and they made it as a reminder, this is what God has done. There were ways to remember God's goodness. And it's in the New Testament as well. We're going to celebrate communion later. That's Jesus giving us a chance to remember what he did for us. To remember his love for us. And to refocus on him. But you know what? It's not enough for me to keep that story to myself. It's not enough for us to just remember ourselves, to remind ourselves. We actually need to retell these stories as well. We need to share them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells people to have the laws and the goodness of God in their conversations all throughout life, at home, at work, while traveling, while at rest. You know, the Psalms are full of examples, both of God's goodness and his faithfulness, but also examples telling us, share what God has done for you. Why? Because when we hear stories from other people, it makes us excited. It helps us to be aware God is moving, God is active, God is living. When was the last time that you actually shared something that God has done in your life with someone else? When's the last time you've actually shared a story of God moving? Just over a month ago, we had John Mellor here. And that was a powerful, powerful weekend. People were touched by the Holy Spirit through John's ministry. And I know the people had some incredible experiences that weekend. I saw miracles that weekend. We need to share those stories. We need to encourage each other with these stories, because when we hear them, our faith is buoyed up. Our own love for Jesus is rekindled, because we don't do faith alone. We do it as part of family. So let's share these stories. Let's encourage one another. If we want to fall in love with Jesus again, we need to refocus on God. We need to open up our eyes to see what he's doing around us today. But we also need to remember and retell of his goodness so that we and others can be encouraged. But the last point that I want to share with you today is this. We need to reread. If we want to fall back in love with Jesus, we need to make sure that we are actually reading Scripture. The Bible's not a book that you read once and then it goes to sit on your shelf just to be looked at. We need to read it again and again and again and again. Just this last week, I finished a book by the late Eugene Peterson called Eat This Book. And it's a metaphor that he got from the book of Revelation. But it's a metaphor that he uses to describe the Bible. We need to eat and devour Scripture. Not just using our eyes to get it into our brain, but we need to let it fill all of us to become part of who we are. And as I talk about this part, I just want to preface what I'm about to say with this point. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Every single part of it. That includes the boring genealogies. That includes the hard bits. That includes the teachings that you don't really like that much. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. It's all good. It's all needed. We can't just spend our lives in the easy parts or our favorite parts. If you enjoy the Psalms, you can't have just the Psalms as your entire diet. We need to devour and read all of scripture. But I know that this last year, as a church, we've been doing the Old Testament in a year. And I love the Old Testament. I love the stories and I love the laws. I love the history. I love looking for Jesus in the Old Testament because he's all through it. But I also know that right now, I need to go back and read the Gospels. I'm going to keep going with that Old Testament reading plan. I might fall behind a couple of days, but I need the Gospels. I need to be reminded, how does Jesus relate to people? How does he care for other people? How does Jesus care for me? I need to be reminded of his wisdom as he faces challenges from people who ought to know him better. I need to go and spend some time in the Gospels with Jesus. So over this summer, that's what I plan on doing. I'm going to be going and I'm going to be reading some of the Gospels. I'm going to go sit at Jesus' feet again. I know the stories. I know Jesus. But I want to be reminded again. So I'm going to reread about him. I'm going to meet with him again. What about you? What is it in Scripture that speaks to your soul, that encourages you, that excites you for Jesus? Maybe it's Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Those promises of what is to come, the hope that is there. Because those chapters are a balm to my soul as well. Maybe it's the Psalms. Maybe it's Proverbs or the letters or Jesus' parables. When we feel like we need to fall in love with Jesus again, this is the opportunity for us to go away, to reread those portions of Scripture that hold that special place in our heart, that are that beautiful balm to our soul. Now, as I said, we can't just live in those places. We can't ignore the rest of Scripture. Those places are important, and it's okay to go there regularly. But you know, sometimes we come to those stories that we love and we just can't get past that feeling, I've read this before. I know the story. I know the words. So change it up. Get a new translation. Last year, I started reading the NLT, the New Living Translation. And I love to read that because it brings things out of the passages that I have never thought of before. We live in a time and a place where we are so abundantly blessed by the amount and the quality of God's word and the translations and the paraphrases that it's available in. So let's use them. Let's allow these beautiful tools to surprise us anew with the beauty and the passion of God's love for us. But you know what? It's not just about translations. Maybe it's about using the technology that we have, because we have phones and tablets and the internet available to us. And we have apps that for free that will read the Bible out to us. Maybe it's time to allow yourself to listen to these stories instead of just reading them. Because I know that as I've listened to some of Paul's letters before, I've noticed things, I've heard things, I've seen things that I would never have seen if I was just reading them. I've gained a new understanding from them. Maybe if you don't journal or write things down, you should give it a try. I've spent my entire life vehemently saying how much I hate journaling. And God's irony is, if I want to hear God's voice, I need to journal. I need to actually slow down and write down what God is saying to me so that I hear, so that I can focus, so that I don't just hear half of it and go off. So for the past 2 years, I've started journaling. Maybe that's something that you need to try. Or again, don't do it alone. Read with someone else. Talk to them about what they see in the passage and you share what you see. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Because when we read scripture, we're not just reading for information. This is the word of God. And Jesus wants us to engage with him, to hear what he is saying to us. Because we all have times that we drift. We all have times that we lose track of why we started in the first place. We all have those moments where we focus on the action of religion and we forget about the love of our Savior. Maybe that's where you are right now. After leaving 2021, after leaving 2 years of incredibly difficult circumstances and times. Or maybe you're focusing well on Jesus right now. And regardless, as we step into 2022, this is a perfect opportunity to ask ourselves, why do I love Jesus? And we should take that opportunity to refocus, remember, and reread as we fall more in love with him again.